This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for being with us. We just got done speaking in the first hour there with Kaylee McEnany. Excited to have her on the show and talk a little bit about the Georgia school shooting. We kind of caught up with that, and we're going to continue to watch that high school. And we don't have a lot of details on it. And what we're going to do here on this show is bring you the facts when we have the facts. And we are going to continue to report on those as they are delivered. We're going to speak with Robert C. Cahaley here pretty soon. We're going to talk to Robert C. Cahaley at about 1:25, and I'm going to talk to him about three polls that are out there. I was just looking over them, the details of them, over that last break. And, you know, I always find Trey Falger, especially Robert C. Cahaley, if you've heard him on the show before, he's quite a character. But the way he does polling is a little bit different than the way a lot of other people do polling. When I pull up Real Clear Politics and I'm looking through the polling that is right there, I know CNN just had a big dump of polls, and watching the CNN polls come in, everything is just a tinge in the favor of Kamala Harris. And I think Arizona might have been the only one. I'll pull that one back up. The polls are often, as I generally say, used to persuade people. And, you know, who's commissioning the poll? What's the poll's purpose? Is it there to inform? Is it from a news organization? Does the news organization have a slant? Is it, if you know, the internal polling that comes from that we generally don't see, the internal polling is what most political campaigns actually end up following and working to, you know, map out what direction is the campaign going to go. Are they going to go to Pennsylvania, 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 Pennsylvania? Or are you like the Kamala Harris campaign, who's in New Hampshire? Watching the Kamala Harris campaign go to some of these locations, I think they recently had a campaign event in Virginia, and you say to yourself, "That's interesting. The Harris campaign is choosing to go to places that are supposed to be blue, as opposed to the super purple swing states of, say, Arizona, Georgia, which is probably a little more on the pink side of purple, but nothing guaranteed whatsoever. Going to have to earn every vote there. But Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan." Those types of states, North Carolina, probably a little more pink than purple right now. But again, every vote has to be earned. When you see the Harris campaign spending time in New Hampshire, which is not necessarily a place where you would see Donald Trump spending a ton of time, it's just making sure that she shores up the votes there to make sure that she keeps a light blue state blue. And you can pay attention to where Donald Trump is spending his time. You know, Donald Trump has spent time in Georgia as well, which is an indication that he definitely feels he needs to win those votes. I think there's no question behind that. Georgia was at the epicenter of the 2020 election and a lot of the frustrations that Donald Trump has articulated about the election and the way it materialized. But when you are watching campaigns make moves and they don't necessarily reflect the confidence that a left-leaning poll might show that we have, then you kind of start to go, well, I wonder what the actual polls compared to the internal polling, what kind of comparison that they actually have. I enjoy listening to Robert C. Cahaley on how he goes about getting his polls. It's generally a little bit different than some of the other more common ones. Ryan loves the poll.
I can't. I've been looking forward. Just the fact that you had mentioned Robert C. Cahaley could be on the show this week.
I did this for you because I care about you.
I appreciate. You know what? I'm a listener too. And I am going
Sometimes on the show, you're not.
Well, that's true. You know, I listen more when I'm off the show.
Do you?
Yeah. So I'm going to go in my office
that's
in the next segment and just sit there and listen because I want to hear. See, Robert C. Cahaley was super, and Trafalgar in general, very, very accurate in 2020. Presidential elections, they have been nailing it. That's this year.
What do you want to know from him?
Well, I just want to hear kind of the lay of the land. I do like hearing their methods because the methodology of doing polls in general has changed so much in the last 10 to 20 years. You know, you don't just call people on their landlines anymore. You can't just call people on their cell phones either. You have to do all this polling. And then, of course, it depends on how you weight the poll against, you know, it's not just like, oh, you interviewed too many Republicans or too many Democrats. It's how you weight the results of that poll. And so I'm interested to hear how he's weighting the poll, because that really is the key to all of them, not just Trafalgar.
What do you think you know about other particular polls? Rasmussen, if CNN's running a poll, Fox News is running a poll. I mean, when the Fox News polls comes out, there's a lot of people, there are certain kind of person, they're like, oh, Paul Ryan has spoken.
Yeah. Oddly, Fox News does not fall into that category of a leaning poll. They are pretty much the same as most other polls at this point. They're just snap polls. Well, they do it over the span of 3 days, 4 days, or whatever. Rasmussen is different. Rasmussen does what's called a rolling poll, where they really never stop, and they have the same people in the poll for a long time to gauge a general mood of these certain people. So their poll is a little bit different. And, you know, when you see what Scott Rasmussen says about his own polls, you can tell that he is definitely coming at it from a conservative standpoint. So does that change his poll? I don't know. Trafalgar had partnered with Daily Wire, I think, in the past. So obviously they tend to be categorized as a right-leaning poll. But when you're accurate, you're accurate. That's the thing. And people will say about 2022 and say, well, they weren't quite as good in 2022. Yeah, well, they're always better than most of them, though. So you can say all you want about polls in general, but Trafalgar has a good track record. So that's why I like when you talk to them.
I'm looking at the betting odds, the 2024 U.S. president betting odds. The RCP average on the betting odds, Trump 49.3, Harris 49.3.
Wow. No kidding.
Yeah, that's the average. None of this means anything to me. I don't know how much of you guys know much about betting. Betfair has Trump 48, Harris 47. Bovada has Trump 52, Harris 50. Do these not have to equal 100?
Yeah. I don't. Maybe somebody else in
I
there.
Don't,
who knows?
I don't math. BWIN is 51-51. Polymarket is 50 Trump, 46 Harris.
See, it's the 51-51 that I don't quite get.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Inflation. Predicted is 47 Trump, 54 Harris, and Smarkets. S-Markets?
Yeah, Smarkets. Now's like the time on Smarkets where we dance. Oh,
it's like the second Sprockets reference this week, and it's a short week.
Jeez, yeah, it's only Wednesday of 2 days.
What are you paid in oatmeal cream pies by the Sprockets reference?
Well, Mike Myers, yeah, the Shrek team. They're like, we're trying to get a Sprockets movie. We need more media coverage.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy's the delivery boy. I'm sure. I can't stand looking at national poll numbers. Like, I'll get halfway in, I'll be like, why am I doing this? Knock it off. It doesn't matter. You could have the whole state of California, Illinois, and New York all vote. Every single person vote for Donald Trump or vote for Kamala Harris. I almost forgot who was running on the Democrat side.
Kamala Harris.
Yeah, that's her goal. You could have every single individual in that state vote for the Democrat candidate, and it doesn't change anything.
No, they're just gauges at this point, too. Now, they give you a general picture of where the country kind of feels. And especially when you take the average of
all of
them.
You have to, when you look at a national polling average, if Donald Trump is in the margin of error or competing for the Democrats, that's got to be an...
That's a nightmare.
Oh, poo moment.
Yeah, and that's why they were so scared of Biden, because Trump was performing ahead of Biden outside the margin of error, so they knew there's no way. Now with Harris, it's gotten back to looking a little bit more like a normal race, but still.
RCP average for Georgia. RCP average. That's all of the polls they have together averaged into... Well, into this is 48.3 Harris, 48.2 Trump, 0.1 to Harris.
That's actually almost exactly what the 2020 total was.
Yeah. The Hill Emerson has Harris up by one. Insider Advantage has him tied at 48. The New York Times Siena poll has Trump plus four. The New York Times is the only one that has Trump up.
Siena's good, too. They've been swinging all over the place, though. That's been a weird poll.
I'm looking forward to hearing what Trafalgar has to say, but more so, I always ask him about the other guys. Like, tell me about why they suck.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay.
It's good though. Brad, I think you shared a graphic with me that I was kind of floating around out there about the 2020 election and the ranking of who got it most right, who got it most wrong based on their overall predictions and then the results. Trafalgar was number two most accurate in that entire cycle in 2020. Number two. The only one above them was some random small college poll that didn't do nearly as much as Trafalgar did. Every single, you name them, New York Times, Siena, CNN, Fox News, no matter who you name, they were below Trafalgar in 2020.
Pennsylvania, we'll start with the Trafalgar group one, plus two Trump. And then The Hill and CNN have them at a tie. Bloomberg, Morning Consult, that's always a left-leaning one, isn't it?
It always is, yeah.
Harris, plus four. Insider Advantage and Rasmussen both have them plus one. Pennsylvania is looking like it is going to go red.
Yeah, what the heck is happening?
And when I keep peeking at Virginia. Virginia will most likely go blue. But when you look at what the governor has done there to clean up the voter rolls, it's one of those that if it's... red. We're going to know that earlier on, you would think, assuming that they actually call the races like they're supposed to. Pennsylvania has already given us the heads up that Pennsylvania intends to be not calling the state that night. It's going to be it's going to be hanging out there. I'm out there, Jerry. Isn't that one?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'll give you credit. I mean,
we just
like
know of Seinfeld references.
Well, I generally know the show.
But if you look at the East Coast having Virginia and Georgia, but Georgia has two time zones. So, right? So Georgia actually, isn't that right?
If the far west part of the state is in the central, I think that's probably
Tennessee.
All east. Yeah.
Well, but Georgia, I feel like, has two closing times.
Oh, okay. They might.
But I feel like Georgia might have to wait until we get into the middle of the country. But it's possible if you get a Virginia that goes red, this is going to be a thing that is the opposite of last time, where we could know early. If Virginia goes blue, if North Carolina ends up going blue, New Hampshire stays blue, Pennsylvania again, I don't think we're going to find that out that night at all. If those start going blue, we could know pretty early that this is not going to go the way we want it to go.
I'll tell you one point that has not been made about this election, because things have just happened so fast, is Republicans had all of the ground energy for the last year and a half. The enthusiasm for Biden for that long was nil. It was nothing. So the only enthusiasm on the ground that they've had for maybe a month. They're behind on registration. They're behind on all the stuff. Republicans have got their act together so much more this year in that regard.
That's not what the Democrats are saying, though.
Well, of course.
But they've been pushing on all of that stuff the entire time with Biden. I mean, the apparatus that is the Democrat Party hasn't slowed down at all. And it's a minor detail to change the name on the top of the ballot, which they were able to just do. When your campaign is not Trump, it really doesn't matter who's on the top of the ballot. So I think it'd be very easy to underestimate and overinflate what the Republican Party has done. It'll be a really, really important question to assess how well the Republican Party took what the Democrats successfully were able to do in 2020 and replicate every square inch of it. Replicate all of it. That's what I'm saying. That makes Democrats scared. It's like, I just tell me what you're afraid of.
Saying anything that's against the normal narrative apparently makes Democrats scared. We were talking about J.B. Pritzker yesterday. All these social media outlets, and he just can't stand that Elon Musk owns one of them.
Yeah. And he's just one. Disgusted at the fact that Elon Musk would buy his way into power. I can't handle it. Man, like, I don't take medication to lower and stabilize my mood, but that made me feel blackout.
It's astounding.
I just am like, it'd be easier to it'd be more palatable to me if he weren't my governor.
Yes.
Abraham Lincoln would have been a Democrat.
The only further quote he could have done would be to say, you know what I hate is when Democrats buy the governorship in Illinois.
Yeah.
Wait a minute now.
Yeah. Chaps me. I just... You can go listen to that if you want to just have your mind be blown as well, along with mine. Yesterday's podcast. Quick break. When we come back, Robert C. Cahaley.
Yay.
You pumped?
Yeah, I am.
Chief pollster and founder of the Trafalgar Group with three important new polls out. You want to know what's going on in Pennsylvania? What about Michigan? How about Wisconsin? Let's talk to Robert C. Cahaley when we come back. When we touch it, it's making me say. To the Annie Fry Show, I want to give you an update right now on the...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The situation in Georgia, before we get to our guest, Robert C. Cahaley, in just one second, there's a little bit of a news update on this very tragic school shooting in Georgia. At least four people are dead. Wednesday, after a shooting at a high school in north central Georgia put the building on lockdown, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation confirmed four people died at Appalachie High School in Barrow County, Georgia, approximately 40 miles northeast of Atlanta, and nine others were taken to various hospitals with injuries. The suspect is alive and in custody. So that is the update that we have for right now on what is taking place in Georgia. We will continue to watch for further updates and deliver them to you as we get them. A real quick clip here from CNN on some of their latest polling.
In these brand new CNN polls, you see how close this race is. You noted these are the top line numbers here, that Harris has an outside the margin of error slight lead in Wisconsin. She also has an outside the margin of error slight lead in Michigan. You also noted that in Arizona, Donald Trump has a slight outside the margin of error lead. But in Georgia, Nevada, Pennsylvania, no clear leader within the margin of error. This shows that the candidates have multiple paths to 270, but that this is indeed a toss-up race. And you mentioned...
Okay, so that's CNN right there on the polls right now. We have Robert C. Cahaley joining us, chief pollster and founder of the Trafalgar Group. Robert, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show. We know that at the Trafalgar Group, you do things a little bit differently, and we love to hear your latest results. What have your studies shown, and how does it compare to what everybody else is out there saying?
As always, it's a pleasure to be here, Annie, and What we've done is I've been kind of working with partnered with Matt Towery with Insider Advantage, and we each time we do the polls, we divide up the battleground states. So one of us does half, does the other half. You can also hear about what we do on our podcast, Polling Plus. Matt and I do it every week, kind of with insider information on what we're thinking on the polls. But right now, we show it almost the inverse of what CNN's showing it, except for we do have some of the states just neck and neck. Pennsylvania is the largest lead we actually show it now. It's about a 1.8 lead for Trump. And Michigan, we show tied. Wisconsin, very slim lead for Trump, around a point. North Carolina, a 1-point lead for Trump. Georgia, tied. And both Nevada and Arizona, a 1-point lead for Trump. Now let me say, one, all these polls were within the margin of error, both ours and CNN's. And I'm a believer that the Democrats, whatever you want to call it, get out the vote, shenanigans, whatever's going to happen leading up this election, I think it's worth at least 2 points, if not 2.5 in these states. So I do not consider any of these states wins for Trump right now, based upon that.
So you factor in the Democrats' ability to get out the vote.
No, I didn't factor it in the polls.
Well, you're
just telling you.
Yeah.
Right.
Your thoughts right now is you take the polls for what they are, and then you assume about two points-ish for their Democrats' effort to find those votes through however they find those votes.
Well, and some of it is just good old fashioned ground operations.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing the Republican Party does that touches that, because frankly the Republican Party doesn't spend the money on the individuals and develop the farm team the Democrats do. I mean they have thousands of paid operatives on the ground going house to house getting people. Pulling up their phones, putting a program on there so that their phones can text everybody on their phones to remind them that really impressive technology. I mean, not to mention what else might be happening, but just alone, that's just impressive. And it's worth, as a matter of fact, I heard Donna Brazile this weekend say that she thinks the Democrats' ability I'll get out the vote can overcome some of the polling numbers.
Hmm.
So, and I do too. Well, I agree with Donna Brazile. I hate to say that, but I do.
I appreciate that. Robert C.K. Haley with us right now. I mentioned that you can check out his podcast. Go listen to it at Polling Plus. That's the name of his podcast. I encourage you to listen to that. Can you draw any comparisons from this election to 2020 and 2016? I mean, all three of those instances, really dramatically different moments in time. Can you show consistency through those three?
Trump is in a better position than he was on those. But the country, as it relates to Trump, has become a little more understanding of who and what Trump is. And the people who support Trump have gotten a little bolder. There's a lot of folks who were for Trump in 2016 that were real hesitant to say. A little less of that in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would say it picked up. 2024 will be somewhere in the middle, because everything surrounding January 6th and the media's perception of what happened and the media's narrative of what happened and the shame that they put on anybody who is for Trump now has kind of led to some of this happening again. And you also, if you've studied what's called the social desirability bias, and that's the tendency, especially with a live call, for someone to say they are for someone in an election more to make sure the person or organization asking doesn't judge them. We've always thought that applied to Trump.
Yeah.
And, that comes, it was called the Bradley effect, going back to a race in California. in the 80s where there was the polls overstated the support for the African-American candidate. So with Kamala Harris being the first African-American, Asian-American woman running for president, there might be an overstated support. So we could have what I would call a double social desirability going on in these races.
That's interesting.
I mean, this in these states. And so this is something we are going to be measuring now that we get close to the election and seeing if we can discern whether that's going on. Because even when you don't use live callers today, people in this information age are still hesitant to say who they're for because they really don't know what anybody's doing with that data. Now, those of you who know Trials and Cabiz, we have a privacy policy on our website. The first thing we do is delete first names from the database before we begin calling. So we don't have the records of anybody's first names and last names, so we don't share that data.
Right.
But we know that the others do.
Robert C. Cahaley is speaking with us right now. You know, we hear these stories reporting on Texas and Virginia and other states in the country that are cleaning up their voter rolls or removing dead people or removing illegal immigrants or non-citizens, maybe I should say. Do you expect any of those efforts to have any effect on the 2024 election?
Well, I know the second you start cleaning up your voter rolls in a county, you're going to get a nasty note from Mark Elias and the Democrats. And unless your county or your state's got money to fight it in court, which some do, you're not going to do a lot of cleaning. Mm. It might, but the thing is, you also have to realize when you clean up a voter roll, that's to, you know, clean off people who haven't voted in years, clean off people who are dead. What it doesn't do is it doesn't clean off people who've registered to vote in the last 2 years who might not actually be eligible. Now, I'm not worried about that in Texas. I'm just not, because they're pretty good about making sure that things are right. But I am worried about that in some other states. You have people voting against a simple bill that people have to be citizens. And I know they say you have to be a citizen to vote, but if they're not checking your ID when you vote, and if you can get registered to vote with simply a driver's license, which you can get in many states without being a citizen, then how do you know?
Yeah.
An ID document that makes it very clear whether you're a citizen somewhere. Because, of course, a green card holder ought to be able to get a driver's license if they're here working. But we have to have some kind of something on the primary document that lets you know. Otherwise, we're going to have non-citizens registered to vote. And it's something that's hard to clean up, not to mention how fast the Biden-Harris administration is making people citizens. The New York Times reports they had a record for it. Hmm. We don't know who all these people are. We just don't know.
Yeah, I live in Illinois, Robert, and you know you just go in and you say your name, and I think you match a signature, and that's about it. And they hand you your ballot, and you go vote. So there's not a lot of verification involved in that. I wanted to ask.
Voter ID is so yeah. Critical. I mean, you can't do anything without an ID. you know, go try to attend a Kamala Harris ride without an ID and see what happens to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as you go through security and on the other side of walls, and it's just bizarre. Kamala Harris, since you brought her up and the support that has been seen on the ground for her at events and stuff that she's done, it doesn't seem like she's really had a major big rally where there isn't also something else there drawing people in. Obviously, when she became not just the not Trump candidate, but also the not Biden candidate for the Democrat Party, breathe a little bit of new life. It seems like that really jolted things for the Democrats. Do you feel as though there is any predictable direction that her support is going in right now since we are past the convention? She's got the nomination, and now we're down to the last couple months here, nitty gritty campaigning.
Yeah, I know we didn't see a convention bounce. That seems to be even polling companies that we know are in the tank for Harris, even they admit that. And so there wasn't a convention bounce. The newness is beginning to wear off. Tough question to begin to be asked. Even the mainstream media is asking tough questions. You know, the one thing you know about the media is they certainly lean to the left, but they think of themselves as very important. And when you don't talk to them, it absolutely annoys them beyond belief. And so I've seen some tough questioning of her that I would not have expected with, you know, Sunday shows and stuff like that. I mean, it was very impressive. But so I think tough questions begin to be asked and about, you know, her changing her positions and things like that. And so I think it is really something that she's leveled out, and there's not this increase that had been happening. Now, really, I think we're probably at a little bit of a stalemate and a plateau heading into this debate. Both of them have a lot to lose. I think Trump has a lot to gain. Harris has more to lose because she can't win either way. If she doesn't go, she'll be lampooned by the media and by Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And if she does go, there's a chance that it's not going to go well for her. But she did show, I thought, in the ABC, CNN interview, that she can handle carefully rehearsed answers that are well crafted.
Yeah.
And if she's prepared like that and doesn't let Trump get under her skin, and more importantly, if Trump is prepared with simple factual answers and doesn't let Harris get under his skin, I think that answer to answer, Trump is going to win the debate.
Mm.
But he's got to let her not get under her skin, and he's not done a great job of that. And it's tough because I understand there's a lot about her that just makes him really angry. But she does a better job of not letting him get under her skin. I mean, he said a lot of things that she didn't like, but she didn't react. He knows what she's bad at. And what she's bad at is straight up answers without preparation.
We're speaking with Robert Sika Haley here of the Trafalgar Group. Check out his podcast, the Polling Plus podcast. A last question before we let you go, Robert. Do J.D. Vance and Tim Walz, do the vice presidential candidates, the vice presidential debate, I mean, with it being so razor thin everywhere, I would think that everything matters. Do you anticipate these vice presidential candidates having an impact on the outcome of this race?
I expect that Tim Walz and some of his craziness is going to be used by the Trump team to kind of draw distance between him and average Americans. And by the same token, I expect some of what J.D. Vance has said, especially as it relates to abortion, and not recently, stuff he said when he was running for Senate, when he first got in there, I expect those words to be used to motivate people, women around abortion. So, yeah, I think that they'll both be used as motivational tools to suggest that what they believe is outside of the mainstream, and they also can act as effective attack dogs. J.D. Vance is very, very good and disciplined when having these interviews. I mean, every one of the Sunday shows I watched, every interview he did, and he could not have been more articulate. And he just wouldn't let the person giving the interview push him around. They couldn't just say that thing where they say, well, that's not true. He came back. No, he literally would not concede points and move on.
Yeah.
And I think that's, I mean, if you're going to fight the mainstream media as a Republican, you have to be able to not do that. Don't concede points and move on.
Yeah, I think that's very well said. Well, we are going to be watching very closely as the Trafalgar Group continues to put out these polls. And Robert Sika Haley, your podcast, Polling Plus, a must listen for people as we are marching 60 some days here to the election. Your information is going to be very helpful for people who are trying to keep their pulse on this campaign. Thank you for being with us here today. It's always great to talk to you.
And it's always a pleasure to be on your show and talk to your audience. And I just hope you make it out of Illinois before it's too late.
You are not the first person to tell me that on this show. I appreciate that. So we'll talk to you again soon, Robert. Thank you for your time today.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Man, the state of Illinois' reputation across this country, pretty consistent, which is such a bummer because it really is a great place to live, and Chicago should be the best city in the United States, and it's just, those politicians, they just have destroyed it. Should make it great again. Let's take a quick break. Ryan Wiggins back in studio. We're going to talk about the poll when we come back. Grade the Trump campaign strategy so far. Have you gotten your vote in? Have you left a comment for us as to why you voted the way you did? Kurt said, I don't know that he could do much better, especially in terms of his big tent approach. I think that's accurate. HW said, B/C wish they would only concentrate on policy. I'm tired of the name calling, as I am usually am by August, September. I don't know if he can help it, but it just gets old. What do you think? Go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, vote in today's live broadcast, live chat, leave a comment. We might read it on the air. We'll be right back.
Question. Tell me.
I think I know the answer to this. Did you guys ever own buttonfly jeans?
I think I might still have some.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure.
I don't think I ever did get into that trend.
It's kind of a 90s thing, I believe. Would you say?
Oh, for sure.
There's a lot of
I got mine after the 90s. I know that.
Right. When they were on sale because they were no longer in style. When they were
probably in 2001.
Say when they were in the flea market.
No, I think 2000. I mean, in high school, I graduated high school in 2002. And I think I might have had some buttonfly flare bootcut jeans then.
Is there more to the buttonfly jeans than just a buttonfly? Is it a whole thing? Or, oh, you can see the buttons. Because the button fly I had still had the little flap over it.
It could be. I think dudes more often had a button. I don't know. I've never worn dude pants. Well, jeans. I've worn men's pants. But.
All right.
It's like athletic pants.
I'm not judging you.
No, you kind of are.
Yeah, I am.
See? I remember my husband having a pair of button fly jeans when we were dating that had like a flap over the top so that you couldn't see the buttons.
Yeah, that's the kind I had and might still have. I just don't like them for practicality.
They're
annoying.
It's too big of a commitment.
Yeah, they're annoying.
I literally get 2 minutes and 20 seconds to pee. And I got in the bathroom like, God dang it. Mm-hmm. It takes forever to button those buttons back up.
I've been telling the engineers.
I almost just didn't.
Just put a drain in here.
No, you haven't. That's terrible.
Well, I've been thinking about telling them that.
Not to mention the fact the practicality of that for you and me are very different situations.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we don't know. We don't have a drain in here. We have to find out.
We know.
We know.
Well, maybe I don't know about you. I know about me. I know how this would go for me.
I mean, I could hit a drain from across the room.
I've bumper peed before.
Oh.
Oh. Okay.
You've worn
men jeans. Yeah. Although I've never done it or seen it done.
Well, you do pee sitting down.
I do understand the nature of what bumper peeing would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually the cleanly way to do it.
Is it?
If you're peeing outside,
yeah,
it's good to have a bumper.
Yeah, I would think so. Same with pooping.
Can't help you there. Never had to do
especially
that.
If it's not your car.
There's no way out.
Anyway, there's a couple minutes left
so
in this
bad.
Segment.
I could go pee in this amount of time.
You want to just go?
Would you wear buttonfly jeans today, or is that? I mean, you seem to be in your pretty standard convenience phase.
I'm in my convenience phase. Yeah, I haven't quite started wearing just sweatpants.
There are people who do now. Athleisure made a big stance in 2020.
Now, I'm not for athleisure.
And athleisure has stuck around.
I'm talking about just leisure. I don't want athleisure. I want to pretend I'm an athlete.
Sounds like too much work.
Yeah. Let's just put on the old sweatpants and not care which way they're facing.
Is there any piece of clothing, Ryan, that you have that when you wear, you're like, I'm looking good?
Ooh.
I didn't consider the fact that the answer was no. I thought you would have a go-to.
I do have a couple of black shirts that I guess probably hide the fact that I have a little bit more belly than I'd like. And I will say this. I'm telling you the honest truth.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Trisha a couple times. Trisha and I.
Uh-huh.
Now, she's on maternity leave right now, so this hasn't been recent. But we've gone a couple times. Because she'll say, you going to get anything for lunch? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to run and get something. She's like, we got to go pick up something for so-and-so's birthday somewhere in the office.
Yeah, she'll go get you a Fountain Dew.
She's in charge of that. And if it has anything to do with the show, she's like, come with me so you can help me carry it in or whatever. So I've a couple times gone with her to a grocery store. In the grocery store, twice with her, I've been wearing my black shirt and gotten out of her car. And I don't know if I'm with a girl that like changes it or just that I'm walking around wearing my black shirt. But I have gotten some glances. And I'm pretty proud of that. Yeah.
Downtown St. Louis?
Downtown St. Louis.
Want money or food?
Yeah, they asked me for money. They asked me for cigarettes.
Do you look expensive?
Yeah.
What kind of shirt?
But not super expensive. The kind of guy who would carry some ciggies.
Other than it being black, is it a t-shirt?
Yeah, it's just a t-shirt.
It's
with a
little black t-shirt?
Black t-shirt. It's cotton poly blend. Just a little pocket right here. It fits me just snug enough that I look like I might be fit, but I'm not really. I can kind of get away with it.
Do you relate to this, folks? Do you really relate to this?
You've got a shirt that every now and then.
Forget this YouTube poll. Let's rate Ryan Wiggins' fashion strategy.
Friday, do you have that shirt? Yes or no?
Black t-shirt, pocket?
Whatever that shirt is for you. That's what it is for me. Do you have that shirt?
You need to wear this shirt tomorrow and then we'll grade your shirt.
I hope it's clean. I wear it a lot.
It probably won't matter. Let's talk about the poll when we come back. Don't go away. Did you guys ever own button fly jeans?
I think I might still have some.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure.
I don't think I ever did get into that trend.
It's kind of a 90s thing, I believe. Would you say?
Oh, for sure.
There's a lot of
I got mine after the 90s. I know that.
Right, when they were on sale because they were no longer in style. They were
probably in 2001.
Say when they were in the flea market.
No, I think 2000. I mean, in high school, I graduated high school in 2002. And I think I might have had some button fly flare bootcut jeans then.
Is there more to the button fly jeans than just a button fly? Is it a whole thing? Or... Oh, so you can see the buttons, because the button fly I had still had the little flap over it.
It could be, I think dudes more often had a button, I don't know, I've never worn dude pants. Well, jeans. I've worn men's pants, but...
All right.
It's like athletic pants.
I'm not judging you.
No, you kind of are.
Yeah, I am.
See? I remember my husband having a pair of button fly jeans when we were dating that had like a... flap over the top so that you couldn't see the buttons.
Yeah, that's the kind I had and might still have. I just don't like them for practicality. They're annoying.
It's too big of a commitment.
Yeah, they're annoying.
I literally get 2 minutes and 20 seconds to pee. And I got in the bathroom like, God dang it. Mm-hmm. It takes forever to button those buttons back up.
I've been telling the engineers.
I almost just didn't.
Just put a drain in here.
No, you haven't. That's terrible.
Well, I've been thinking about telling them that.
Not to mention the fact the practicality of that for you and me are very different situations.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we don't know. We don't have a drain in here. We have to find out.
We know.
We know.
Well, maybe I don't know about you. I know about me. I know how this would go for me.
I mean, I could hit a drain from across the room.
I've bumper peed before.
Oh.
Oh. Okay.
You've worn men's.
Although I've never done it or seen it done.
Well, you do pee sitting down.
I understand the nature of what bumper peeing would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually the cleanly way to do it.
Is it?
If you're peeing outside,
yeah,
it's good to have a bumper.
Yeah, I would think so. Same with pooping.
Can't help you there. Never had to do
especially
that.
If it's not your car.
There's no way out
anyway,
of this.
There's a couple minutes left
so
of this
bad.
Segment.
I could go pee in this amount of time.
You want to just go?
Would you wear button fly jeans today? Or is that, I mean, you seem to be in your pretty standard convenience phase.
I'm in my convenience phase, yeah. I haven't quite started wearing just sweatpants.
There are people who do now. Athleisure made a big, big stance in 2020.
Now, I'm not for athleisure.
And athleisure has stuck around.
I'm talking about just leisure. I don't want athleisure. I want to pretend I'm an athlete.
Sounds like too much work.
Yeah. Let's just put on the old sweatpants and not care which way they're facing.
Is there any piece of clothing, Ryan, that you have that when you wear, you're like, I'm looking good?
Ooh.
I didn't consider the fact that the answer was no. I thought you would have a go-to.
I do have a couple of black shirts that I guess probably hide the fact that I have a little bit more belly than I'd like. And I will say this. I'm telling you the honest truth.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Trisha a couple times. Trisha and I.
Uh-huh.
Now, she's on maternity leave right now, so this hasn't been recent. But we've gone a couple times because she'll say, you going to get anything for lunch? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to run and get something. She's like, we got to go pick up something for so-and-so's birthday somewhere in the office.
Yeah, she'll go get you a Fountain Dew.
She's uh-huh. in charge of that. And if it has anything to do with the show, she's like, come with me so you can help me carry it in or whatever. So I've a couple times gone with her to a grocery store. In the grocery store, twice with her, I've been wearing my black shirt and gotten out of her car. And I don't know if I'm with a girl that it like changes it or just that I'm walking around wearing my black shirt, but I have gotten some glances and I'm pretty proud of that. Yeah.
Downtown St. Louis?
Downtown St. Louis.
Want money or food?
Yeah, they asked me for money. They asked me for cigarettes.
Do you look expensive?
Yeah.
What kind of shirt?
But not super expensive. The kind of guy who would carry some ciggies.
Other than it being black, is it a t-shirt?
Yeah, it's just a t-shirt.
It's
with
a
little
black t-shirt?
Black t-shirt. It's cotton poly blend. Just a little pocket right here. It fits me just snug enough that I look like I might be fit, but I'm not really. I can kind of get away with it.
Do you relate to this, folks? Do you really relate to this?
You've got a shirt that every now and then.
Forget this YouTube poll. Let's rate Ryan Wiggins' fashion strategy.
Friday, do you have that shirt? Yes or no?
Black t-shirt, pocket?
Whatever that shirt is for you. That's what it is for me. Do you have that shirt?
You need to wear the shirt tomorrow and then we'll grade your shirt.
I hope it's clean. I wear it a lot.
It probably won't matter. Let's talk about the poll when we come back. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.